Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Temptations of the West, How to Be Modern in India, Pakistan, Tibet, and Beyond, is a work of literary reportage by Pankaj Mishra, first published in 2006. It combines travel writing, political essay, cultural criticism, and historical reflection to examine how societies across South and Central Asia confront the appeal and strain of Western modernity. Mishra moves through places associated with democratic aspiration, religious conflict, celebrity culture, insurgency, exile, and global tourism, including India, Pakistan, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Tibet, and Nepal. The book is not a policy study or a conventional travel memoir. Its purpose is to show how large abstractions such as development, nationalism, secularism, freedom, and globalization are experienced in local settings and individual lives. Mishra is especially interested in the gap between the promise of becoming modern and the social costs that accompany imitation, displacement, consumer desire, political violence, and cultural uncertainty. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Western modernity appears as both promise and pressure. A central concern of Temptations of the West is the uneven attraction of Western models of progress. Mishra does not present modernity as a simple import that arrives through markets, democracy, education, or media, and then improves life in a predictable way. Instead, he shows how the desire to be modern can create new forms of restlessness. In many of the societies he describes, Western modernity is linked to mobility, consumption, individual freedom, and international recognition. Yet these ideals often enter places marked by poverty, inherited hierarchy, religious identity, colonial memory, and weak institutions. The result is not straightforward transformation, but tension between aspiration and exclusion. People may want the freedoms associated with the West while also resenting Western power, cultural dominance, or the local elites who mediate it. This makes the book different from celebratory accounts of globalization. Mishra treats modernity as a historical force that rearranges status, imagination, and political expectations. Its temptation lies in the hope that it offers escape from stagnation, but its danger lies in the frustration produced when that escape is partial, unequal, or culturally disorienting. Secondly, Indian democracy is examined through religion, caste, region, and spectacle. The Indian sections of the book explore the contradictions of a country often described through democratic success and economic promise. Mishra is interested in what those descriptions conceal. He looks at places and institutions where competing versions of India meet holy cities, political strongholds, contested religious sites, provincial towns, and the Bombay film industry. Through these settings, he traces how democracy can empower groups that were once excluded while also intensifying communal rivalry, caste assertion, and populist symbolism. The book pays attention to the Hindi heartland, where national politics often becomes inseparable from religious identity and historical grievance. It also examines Bollywood as a cultural machine that projects fantasies of wealth, romance, national belonging, and cosmopolitan glamour. Mishra does not reduce India to either tradition or modernization. Instead, he shows how both are constantly being recombined. Electoral politics, mass entertainment, religious mobilization, and consumer ambition all become ways of imagining a modern nation. The strength of this analysis is that it treats India as internally diverse and politically unstable rather than as a single civilizational or economic story. Thirdly, borderlands reveal the violence behind national dreams. Mishra gives particular importance to regions where the promises of nationhood have produced conflict rather than belonging. Kashmir, Pakistan, and Afghanistan allow him to examine the afterlives of partition, Cold War intervention, religious militancy, militarized borders, and failed state projects. These places complicate easy narratives about freedom, democracy, and development, because they show how modern political identities can be built through fear, sacrifice, and exclusion. In Kashmir, the conflict is not treated merely as a diplomatic dispute between India and Pakistan. It appears as a lived condition shaped by occupation, insurgency, surveillance, memory, and frustrated political hope. Afghanistan similarly stands as a place where outside powers and local factions have repeatedly promised liberation while deepening disorder. Mishra is careful to connect present violence to longer histories rather than presenting extremism as a timeless cultural trait. This is one of the book's key contributions. It asks readers to see political violence not as a rejection of modernity alone, but also as one of the distorted forms modern political ambition can take when institutions collapse and dignity is denied. Fourthly, Tibet and Nepal expose the fragility of culture under global attention. The book treatment of Tibet and Nepal broadens its argument beyond the nation-state and the market-driven city. These sections consider places often romanticized by outsiders as spiritual, remote, or timeless. Mishra challenges that romanticism by showing how global attention can preserve certain images while weakening the actual communities behind them. Tibet especially raises questions about exile, cultural survival, Chinese state power, religious identity, and the international consumption of Tibetan suffering. The West may admire Tibetan spirituality, but admiration does not necessarily translate into political agency for Tibetans. Nepal also appears in relation to tourism, monarchy, social hierarchy, political unrest, and the pressures of development. In both settings, Mishra is attentive to the way outsiders search for authenticity, while local people face modern problems of employment, representation, repression, and migration. The reasoning here is subtle. A culture can be celebrated globally and still be politically vulnerable. The book, therefore, resists both exotic nostalgia and developmental triumphalism. It asks what happens when places become symbols for others while struggling to control their own futures. Lastly, literary reportage connects large history to individual experience. Temptations of the West stands out for its method as much as for its subject. Mishra writes as an essayist, shaped by fiction, travel, and historical inquiry. Rather than relying mainly on institutional analysis, he moves between observation, conversation, memory, and political background. This allows him to connect public events with private disillusionment, ambition, resentment, and hope. The approach is especially useful because many of the themes in the book, such as nationalism, globalization, religious revival, and Western influence, can become abstract when discussed only in academic or policy language. Mishra, instead, asks how these forces are registered in daily life and in the moral imagination of individuals. At the same time, his method has limits. Literary reportage depends on selection, emphasis, and interpretation, so it cannot provide a complete social history of every region it visits. Its value lies elsewhere. It slows down familiar headlines and places them within layered contexts. The book encourages readers to distrust quick explanations, especially those that treat Asia as either backward, newly triumphant, or merely reactive to the West. In conclusion, Temptations of the West is best suited to readers who want a reflective account of South and Central Asia that goes beyond news summaries, tourist impressions, or simplified arguments about development. It will interest students of postcolonial studies, globalization, Indian politics, religious nationalism, travel writing, and modern Asian history. Its practical benefit is not that it offers direct policy solutions. Rather, it trains readers to ask better questions about context, historical memory, cultural translation, and the uneven distribution of modern opportunity. The book also helps explain why people may desire Western freedoms, education, and prosperity while remaining suspicious of Western power and local elites shaped by it. Compared with many travel books, it is more historically and politically ambitious. Compared with many academic studies, it is more attentive to atmosphere, character, contradiction, and lived experience. What differentiates it most is its refusal to treat modernity as a single path. Mishra shows that the wish to become modern can produce creativity, emancipation, imitation, resentment, violence, and loss often at the same time. For readers seeking a nuanced literary map of Asia under the pressure of globalization and post-colonial nation-building, the book remains a serious and distinctive contribution. If you would like to support Pankaj Mishra, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.